Well, as Steve said, that Brother Joe is at Watts. He is one of their, revival speakers that they're having today, right? Is that true? I'm asking his daughter, so I'll make sure they got that right. So he's there today, and he asked me to fill in for today. So you have me today. And today I want to start out with just a little comic relief, because I know that some of you guys have had a long couple weeks. I know I've had a long few weeks. Some of you guys have already had, how many have had the cooties already? Anybody in here besides some of us? Some of us have had it, and it doesn't feel good. For me, it was like the flu-like symptoms. I'm over it, so if I breathe on you, you should be okay. Just consider it plasma coming out or whatever, I don't know. But some of you guys might have heard this little joke before, and if you have, at the end of it, just give one of those, fake laughs, like you're really enjoying something pretty funny, and just kind of pretend like you did, like you haven't heard it before, and just kind of go like, you know, one of those laughs, like, okay, you got it. Well, as a minister for many years, I come across plenty of them. Like I said, some of you guys might have heard this. You know, you become friends with other pastoral or bishops or whatever they want to call themselves based upon their denomination, their religion, so forth. And so I heard about this Catholic priest, this Methodist pastor, and this Baptist pastor all taking a fishing trip one day. And as they were taking a fishing trip, you know, time passed, and they've been buddies for, you know, years and so forth. And the Catholic guy says to the other two, he goes, "Guys, listen, I have a confession to make. And I know that you two don't do these confession kind of booths, but," he goes, "I just feel like as brothers we confess, you know, our struggles and triumphs and joys and sorrows and all that kind of stuff with one another." So he goes, "I've got to confess something to you guys. You know how we take a vow to be celibate? You know, we remain just single all of our lives." He goes, "But I'm telling you guys, it's tough. There's a lady that goes to my church, and I tell you what, our eyes catch every once in a while, and I'm just feeling this passion." And, you know, of course, the Baptist pastor speaks up, and he says that, "Hey, that's, you know, it says if you burn with passion, you better get married, otherwise you're going to be messing up, so we'll be lifting that up for you, but let us know how it's going to go." And a few minutes later, the Methodist guy goes, "Well, you know, such as you Catholics, you know, we do communion, and of course, we drink the little hard stuff during the communion." And he goes, "But to be honest with you," he goes, I kind of like the taste of wine, and so I kind of overdo it every once in a while, and I might get just a little tipsy, and so I've got to watch that, so that's my struggle in life." And so here you had the Catholic priest, you know, he's burning with passion because he's liking this one lady at his congregation. The Methodist guy is just a little bit, gets tipsy on the weekends, and then about 30 minutes goes by, and nothing from the Baptist pastor at all. He's just casting his rod. He's just fishing. And both the other guys are kind of going, looking at each other, going, "Okay, we just spilled the beans on two of our things." And the Catholic guy looks at the Baptist preacher, and he goes, now we just let the cat out of the bag with our troubles. What is it that you struggle with, or do you have anything at all? And he goes, "Well, guys, I've been really hesitant to say anything because you're not going to like it," but he goes, "Be honest with you, I have trouble with gossip. And it's going to be really hard for me to not say anything to my friends when I get back out this fishing trip." All right, so some of you guys might have heard that, but that was just to get a smile on your face, because we are here to fellowship with one another. We are here to worship with one another. We're here to smile with one another. We're here to, in a sense, even though it was a joke, we lift each other's burdens up and sorrows and triumphs and all that. So today, I'm going to spend time in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. So go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 10 with me today, and put your finger on verse 19. We're going to begin there in just a moment, but let me give you just a little brief introduction. I think this will be a good sermon based upon how easy it is to stay home once you're used to staying home watching sermons online. I get it. We did that over the summer months a little bit, didn't we? We stayed home, and it can be very easy to stay home once you get acclimated about staying home and finding other things to do. It's easy sometimes to flip through what other people are doing online and, "Oh, that's boring, go to something else." This is a little bit more challenging, where you have to get up. You had to get in the shower, or hopefully get in the shower, and get groomed for the day, get dressed for the day, come and fellowship with one another. But believers in the New Testament times, guys, were urged to strengthen each other spiritually. It says, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. My friends, we are a New Testament church, and we are urged as well to strengthen each other spiritually. All right? So if recent polls can be trusted, now I've done some study on this the last 2 years, and it's still going on today. An expansion of this lone ranger mindset kicks into place in today's generation. This lone ranger spirituality is happening in the United States, across the globe actually. People come up with a lot of excuses, but church attendance, believe it or not, is down. It's even more so because of this COVID-19 that is going on. And I get it. It's sometimes safe to stay home based upon if you are subject to getting easy sicknesses. I get that. But even some biblical beliefs are being abandoned today as well. And more people are looking in a lot of different places for the uplift they once sought in church sanctuaries. They don't look towards doing this anymore. So this is different. If you look at Scripture, this is different than the Jesus model. Believe it or not, Jesus had the perfect model about what church attendance looked like. He made it his practice to join and go to synagogue services on a regular basis. Write down Luke chapter 4, verse 16, if you're taking notes today. That would be a good reference verse to go back later, and you can see how Jesus attended and went to worship service. But today, people no longer take him as a perfect example. They just don't. Some don't even take what the first Christians did in the book of Acts, chapter 2, church, very seriously at all. So what happens is that some settle for what is, I would say, this loosely called spirituality and try to nurture their souls without this timeless traditions of this congregational praise, this prayer, and this biblical instructions, and edifying and fellowshipping with one another. People are forsaking that, and they begin this lone ranger mindset. So, together, like we do on Sunday mornings, it is an uplifting source of comfort, inspiration, and emotional strength. So, let's get some more of this comfort today as we look at God's Word, this inspiration and strength from God's Word. Stand with me as you got your Bibles open, and let's stand and read and honor God's Word today. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19, we're going to go all the way through 25. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from all evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Amen, my people, and you may be seated. Guys, usually when I do a message like this or of any sorts, I like to just give you just a little bit of history so you understand what's going on here in the book of Hebrews, and then we'll kind of get a little bit more into the meat of the matter. But the basic principle for the book of Hebrews is to do a couple of things. One, it's to present the sufficiency and also the supremacy. Two S's, sufficiency and also supremacy of Christ himself. So, most commentators also agree that the author of Hebrews, anybody know who it is? Unknown. Good job. We don't know who it is. There's a lot of speculations, a lot of good ones out there, but I'm not going to get into that because that's a whole other historical sermon within itself. But if you have a good study Bible, a lot of suggestions are given. The audience are Hebrew Christians considering going back to Judaism, okay? So more than likely at this time, they're going under persecution, probably from a lot of Jews and also the Romans that are living around them at this time. So they needed to be reassured Christianity was true and it's alive and Christ is the true Messiah. You get it? So we need encouraging and reassurance, just like they did then. We need it now that Christ is alive and Christianity, my friends, is not dead. It's alive and it is well. Meeting together on Sunday mornings, let me tell you something, it's not dead, right? It's not. Jesus is alive. I know within my life he changed everything. That really could be the theme of this passage. Jesus is alive, and he changes everything. So the author of the Hebrews for the past 10 chapters, if you're familiar with Hebrews at all, has been telling these people Jesus is better, and along the way, he has certainly applied the truth to the hearts and lives of the generation that is living there today, and also this generation that's living today as well. So in this part, he especially begins to take the truth and he tries and work it deep into our soul. So the first thing I would like to point out is this, and you're going to see it on the screen. It says, we should encourage the discouraged. We should encourage the discouraged. You know why I say that? It's very simple. It is from God's word, says it there. So in the light of Jesus' perfect sacrifice, I love this, we should encourage one another because we have the perfect sacrifice. That's what we have, especially the discouraged, to keep running the race. My friends, you know how easy it is to quit running the race when you stumble, when you fall, when you get hurt, when your heart gets hurt or something that happens, especially within the church walls kind of thing. Man, it hurts. Sometimes you just want to give up, but we can't. And that's why we got to keep meeting with one another, to encourage one another, to spur one another along. So if you are here this morning, let the music that was sung, right? And the message of God's word, let that speak to you in a special way. Let that encourage you. You know, and I say this with boldness. In Scripture says what? We should have boldness when we come before God. A bold approach to God. You know, we've got to take advantage of this beautiful access we have to our Heavenly Father and take it with boldness. Now, I'm going to say boldness a lot, so you're going to go away walking today with this boldness word in your noodle, in your noggin. If you are familiar with Scripture, you know, right? You will know at one time the high priest entered the holiest place. But now, guess what? We now can enter the holiest of holies with boldness. Go before God's throne with boldness. This boldness is a complete, and I mean a complete contrast to the way the high priest entered the holy place under the Old Testament covenant. Think about this. In the Old Testament, he went with fear and trembling, because if he had neglected even the smallest item prescribed in the law, a way that he had to do things when he entered there and perform all the rituals and the functions, right? He could expect death if he messed up, in a very simple layman's term. So we do this by the blood that was shed by Christ. We no longer enter the temple with the blood and sacrifice of animals, do we? I'm glad that we don't do that anymore. That would be pretty gross. We enter a new place, a new and living way which Christ consecrated with us. We really can come into the presence of God with boldness, guys, as Scripture says that we can come before Christ. So when Christ came and gave up his life and he rose, he gave us this new living way, which I'm excited about. Jesus' death removed that curtain, right? And all believers can walk into God's presence at any time that you need to or want to, right? The veil once separated the holiest from the holy place. To enter, you had to pass through the veil, but this veil separating from, right, man from God's intimate presence is forever now opened wide. It's torn in two. from top and bottom. Matthew chapter 27, write it down. You can go to that later. That'll tell you a little bit more about it. So the writer to the Hebrews makes an analogy between the veil that stood between God and man and also the body of Jesus. Jesus' body was torn. It was broken. And so was the veil, each indicating that now we can come. What's it say? I'm going to start with a B. What is it? Boldly. Say it with me. Boldly. We can come boldly before God. So we should encourage the discouraged. Number two, here we go. We should draw near to God. Comes right from Scripture. I'm not making this up. Right from God's Word. We should draw near to God. How is it possible that we frail human beings can go to God Almighty Himself, the Creator of the universe, that one that holds the very life, your life, in His hand, right? How is it possible that we can do this? When we read passages like this, it should encourage us to come to our Heavenly Father with a spirit again. Here, I'm going to say it again, as boldness, right? With boldness. We have the perfect cleansing available to us. There is salvation by grace through faith and the Christian practice of baptism, of the body being washed. So now we can draw near to God, right, in a way never available to someone under the old law. Totally different. So we can draw near to God because several issues have been settled. The problem of access to God has been settled, it says. The high priest has been settled. The problem with spiritual and moral pollution has been taken care of. Think about that. All that's been wiped away. Sin is gone, right? So now here's the point of all this. The encouragement the author is conveying to them, and I want to convey this message to you as well, is to draw near. And it wouldn't be given unless it was necessary, right? There was a real problem going on back then. They lost their intimate relationship somehow with Christ. And nothing else seemed to be going right when this was written. And this can happen, guys, this can happen today as well. Who knows what the Hebrew people were thinking during this time? Let me just come up with some things. Maybe, well, persecution is a given, right? Because we know that was going on. Just like us, probably relationships problems were going on. Maybe they had financial problems. Who knows? Maybe some grumpy church member stirring up the pot. That happens every once in a while, doesn't it? But I think the real problem was the relationship with Christ. Was it going well? And I wonder why. Have you ever been through that kind of stuff in your life where your relationship doesn't seem where it just needs to be? You know, I guess I could say it wasn't on the right track, right? They didn't draw near to God based upon what He had done. They forgot what Christ has done or did for them. Think about this. When we're going through tough times, always remember there's a lot of other people that have gone through maybe what you have gone through, or even worse, and had a better attitude about it. How many times do we just get in the, sometimes what I call the muck of life, and we start going, poor me, I just can't handle this anymore. And think about this, somebody's probably already gone through a lot more than you have, right? And their attitude's different. Why? Because their relationship with Christ is different than yours, right? Which we need to improve upon. They have shown more joy than you do now. So what do you think the difference is? Well, Scripture indicates we've got to draw near to who? Ourselves more? We draw to me, myself, and I? Well, we have a tendency to do that, and I've done that many times before where I think I can do it on my own, but that's not what Scripture says. You draw near to Christ, right? So they realized they can't be self-reliant. How many times have we tried to be self-reliant? It doesn't work out too well, does it? We think it does, but it really doesn't. So here's another point, and you'll see it on the screen. We should hold fast to the truth. We should hold fast to the truth. You know what happened to some of this bunch during this time? I believe this is what happened. Discouragement made them waver from the truth. Now, how many times have we been discouraged? How many times that it's easy to get discouraged, isn't it? Satan loves that discouragement to be able to sit in, and that negativity and all that kind of stuff, right? Discouragement made them waver. So think about what happens when we are discouraged. Some get tossed back and forth in the wind and the waves because we forget to do this. We forget simply that we can go before God boldly, right? We can boldly go before Christ. So my encouraging words to you is to renew your confidence. Renew your confidence in the greatness of Christ in this new covenant to make you strong in your faith, in your walk with Christ. It makes a world of difference, my friends. It just does. Don't you think the words, let us hold fast, I love what Scripture says, let us hold fast, I believe should be written on everything that we have. Write those words down. Let us hold fast. To ourselves? Is that what it says? No. To Christ Almighty, to God, right? We live in an ever-changing age, and we need to be exhorted and to be rooted in the truth of God. So let me encourage you to hold fast. Hold fast to God. You know, Scripture says we need to do this without wavering. All right? We, as human beings, sure can waver a lot. So here's the light bulb moment, I think, for me, and I hope it is for you. Believing God, get this, now this is very simple, right, but profound. Believing God will do what He says He's going to do, what He said He will do, what He promises that He's going to do, right? Believing God will do what He promises, whether we see it in our lifetime or not, actually brings glory to God. It just does. You see, Israel caved in to fear and doubt. They did that quite a bit and did not hold fast to their trusting faith in God. They just didn't. As Christians, think about this. You have the Bible as the example sometimes of how to live your life and, of course, what not to do. Christians, we are called not to make the same mistakes as the people of Israel. Instead, we should embrace the confidence we have in Christ, the salvation we have from Christ, and then we are to act upon what we have from Christ. Continuing to believe when there seems to be no hope all brings glory back to God Almighty Himself. So, for He who promised is faithful. Guys, the reason we can stand strong because why? I just said it. Because God is faithful. He is just. He is loving, right? I'm so glad that God is faithful. Life is simply too hard. Sometimes it's too complicated, it seems. Too confusing at times and too painful for us to just say, I'm going to do it on my own. It's all that. We can't do that on our own. Think about His faithfulness, what He has brought you through. Think about where you've gone from birth till now. Everything that you've faced in life. What has Christ brought you through? Think about where you have been and where you want to go. Think about what could have been without Christ living in here. He is faithful to fulfill His promise, to forgive sins, to work out all things for what? Our good, it says. To meet our needs. So delight in a faithful God. 2 Timothy, write it down if you want to. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Timothy 2, 13. It says, if we are faithless, I love it, He remains faithful, for He could not deny Himself. Beautiful little passage of Scripture, easy to remember. Here's another thing. Not only we should hold fast to the truth, but you'll see this on the screen as well. We should pursue the community of God's people. I'm not making this up. It comes right from God's Word. We should pursue the community of God's people. Scripture says, let us consider one another. We are to consider one another. You know what happened? Let me say this word again. I think discouragement set in. I think discouragement set in. Discouragement made them avoid community at the time needed most. And guys, I can tell you during this generation we live and the COVID thing going on and all that kind of stuff, it's easy to get discouraged. I've said this. I've heard many of you say this. I'd be glad when this is over. It's exhausting. I know some of you guys own businesses and restaurants, and some of you all are teachers and all this kind of stuff. And it's exhausting having to wear the mask and all this other kind of stuff. Maybe I should have worn one myself a little bit more. I don't know. But it can be discouraging, and it's so easy to lose sight of fellowshipping with one another for the sake of just something that's nasty as this. But you know what's good? Jesus meets us in each in a special way to stir up love and to stir up good works with one another. That's why we don't need to forsake meeting. I think we can still meet within safety precautions. We still have a balcony that can hold, I don't know how many, Dennis? 100? Yeah, and then if you take half of that, that's still within safety bounds of what we're trying to meet through the guidelines and so forth. So this is what I would say mutual activity. This is believers actually encouraging one another. This is where believers stir up one another in a good sense of what we're doing. This is where believers love, and I'm talking about agape love, right, with one another. Here's another thing we should do. We should not forsake assembling ourselves together. It goes along with what I'm just saying, the last point. We should not forsake assembling ourselves together. Guys, if we forsake meeting together, if we forsake assembling together, this is a way for, I'm going to say this word again, discouragement to be able to set into your hearts. It's like I said, you know, over the summer months, we stayed home a lot. Now a lot of things are beginning to open. Yes, we have to be careful, but we can be so easily complacent, right? In other ways, and not do what Scripture tells us to do. And this discouragement will fester where God's people are not exhorting one another. So when you stay away from God's people, when you don't encourage one another, when you don't pray for one another, when you don't love on one another, when we don't fellowship with one another, when we don't sing with one another, when we don't worship God together corporately as a body of believers, guys, that just festers within us something that's not right, right? And this discouragement will fester where God's people are not exhorting one another. You know, only some people attend services if they feel like it. I get it, right? Or have a need at a certain time. Now, we are located downtown, and so we get a little bit of people coming off the streets or traveling through, and Steve knows as well as I do the stories that we get, but I find it somewhat amazing that there's always a need there. There's always some kind of need that they or a want or a desire. Sometimes people get that mixed up, right? As coming by trying to get to, from point A to point B. But what they need is a relationship with our Heavenly Father. What they need is to learn how to fish so they too can be fishers of men. And of course, you know, it's true that some only, you know, they only come if they feel like it and if they feel like just getting up out of bed on a Sunday morning or not. Our motivation, guys, for fellowship must be to obey God and as well as give to others. You know, Brother Joe spoke about giving this past week, you know, financially of our times and so forth. We should gather with believers to encourage each other to do so, right? Encourage one another and stand strong against the tide of discouragement. Did you all know if you attempt to live life on your own without the support of community, you can run into serious trouble because there's no one there to support you? And this is what we try to tell people when they come in for help, because they live their life outside of community. What they have is false hope. What they have is false community. With inside of body believers, you have authentic, or you should have authentic community. The people that truly do pray for one another, that truly do care for one another, that truly want to cry when you are crying, to laugh when you laugh, or anything in between. You know, I say this because it's so important Christians gather together to work together for the glory of God. We work together for the glory of God. You see, there's a day approaching. Scripture is clearly playing with this. Jesus' return is near. We should always be living our lives like Jesus is coming now. We should be committed to the fellowship of God's people, the assembling together, not neglecting it. We as well need to live as if the time is near. Don't forget each successive Christian generation. Don't forget this, all right? We're called upon to live as the generation of end times. We just are, to live as a Christian generation. Like there is no tomorrow because Christ is coming back. And you've thought about this in your brain before. If you knew exactly when that was, what would you do? If you knew that Christ was coming back at 6 p.m. tonight, what would you do? Or, you know, it's kind of like that book, if you had 1 month to live or whatever it's called. What would you do in 1 month if you had 1 month knowing that in 30 days you would pass from this earth? Would you live like there's no tomorrow and give God the glory in all things? Or would you succumb to discouragement and go, oh, poor me, just got 30 days? Well, maybe if you do that, maybe your relationship with Christ is not where it needs to be. Maybe that relationship needs to be improved. Maybe you've never come to know Christ. Maybe you just done the church thing all your life. I do believe in modern day church settings that there are people that are probably grown up in a church-like setting that did, you know, all the right things, that went to potlucks, that went to Sunday school, went to church service, and you know, went on youth trips and all this kind of stuff, but never authentically gave your life to Jesus Christ. What you did, you went with the flow, and you went with the motions of the ocean because everybody else seemed to be doing it. There are a lot of testimonies that come across with people older that got older and said, man, I thought I did when I was 10 years old, but I just did it because, you know, Frank did it. Or I just went up because everybody else did. And as time got away, they never made the decision. And so they have false hope. And so it's easy to get discouraged in all that kind of stuff. So let me give you my final thoughts today. And this is not profound, it's just right from Scripture, okay? Don't stop going to church services. Now, I'm preaching to the choir, right? I get it. But don't stop. Let us not give up meeting together. You know what some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage, Scripture says, one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Well, what day is that? Well, it's Christ, right? Do whatever you can to encourage others regarding church attendance, because the closer we get to Christ's return, the more we need to meet and become the family of God that He intended us to be, right? It's easy to make excuses, isn't it? Now, just be honest. Raise your hand if you have ever made an excuse not to go on a Sunday morning. All the rest of you guys are fibbing. How many of you guys made excuses not to go on a Wednesday night? Let's make it a little harder. What about on a Sunday night when we had them? How easy is to do something else? Now, I'm not saying 24/7, come when the church doors are open all the time and all. You gotta work for a living. I get it. We're called to work, aren't we, Brother Steve? We're called to work. But no, don't neglect this. Do whatever you can to encourage your spouse, your children. Now, dads, listen to me. Fathers, listen to me. And you've heard this before. So goes the man, so goes the family. Let me say it again. So goes the man, so goes the family. You've heard studies on this before, where the chances of, if your family is going to go to church and they're going to accept Jesus, there's a larger percentage of chances that it's going to be done through the man, and it's going to be done as a family. Smaller chance when it's the spouse, the wife. You know, it's easy to make excuses and find reasons not to attend services on Sunday or even, like I said, Wednesdays. It's easy to flake out of a small group that you're even a part of. But none of the reasons will really hold up to any kind of inspections, will they? They just won't. Not at all. I kind of miss the simplicity. Now, some of you guys might not, but my generation remembers the blue law. Remember the blue law? Yeah, it's where things weren't open up on a Sunday. No gas station, no grocery store. I mean, you went home after church on Sunday. Mama or grandma had a roast and potatoes and carrots. And if you got really fortunate, you got a little mac and cheese, you know, pinto beans, cornbread, onions. My goodness, are you guys hungry? I miss sometimes the simplicity of that. This is what people did. They came to church on Sundays. That's what they did. But now you can find anything, almost anything opened, anything. And you can go to almost anything other than coming here and meeting together and putting up with me for about 30 minutes. Right? It's easy to do something else. So, have you ever thought of why you do what you do? Have you ever thought about why you come on Sunday mornings? You know, my daughter grew up, I'm looking at the PKers over here, as a PKer. You know, as she got as a middle-aged teenager, 15, 16 years old, I said, Claire, I said, you're old enough now where mom and dad, I don't want to make you. I don't want to make you go. I set the standard. Here's what it is. Here's what I think. But I want this in here to be working for you with this. And you, I want you to make the decision. And we're blessed that she, thank God, she made the right decisions of life. You know? Sometimes it wasn't easy. But she went because she wanted to develop her relationship with Christ outside with what dad said it should be or ought to be, right? So, do you ever think about why you attend services on Sunday? Why do you go? Why did you get up today and go? Why even want to be a part of church life? Well, let me just read some of these to you. Guys, there's a rhythm of life that I believe that God established from the foundations of this world through His creation. There's a rhythm there. And it's easy to fall out of that rhythm when you stop neglecting to come together. There is power hearing and living out God's word. There is beauty participating in corporate worship where we come together, that we sing songs together of psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, all that kind of stuff, right? Reading God's word, praying together, worshiping God alone is wonderful, but nothing can replace the beauty of coming together corporately to worship Him and others who also have His Spirit in them through this redeeming work of salvation. Another thing meeting together does is, or it should, this should sharpen us. We sharpen one another with the living Word of God. We do, right? It allows us to sharpen one another. Proverbs 27:17 tells us that. Write it down, Proverbs 27:17. How about this? How about to exercise your spiritual gift? How many of you, this is rhetorical, just think about it. How many know what your spiritual gift or gifts, plural, are? If not, let's work on it together, all right? When a church body is healthy, it produces, and members realize that they are a part of something not only to receive, but also to be a blessing to others and give, right? It works together, receiving and giving. How about as to what Scripture taught us today, and that it's simple to be an encourager to one another? I want to be an encourager to my brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be, right? I believe we do this in settings like this one. I just do. Wednesday evening Bible study helps out as well. Small group settings. All these things give us discipleship. They give us a time to study. They give us this accountability. A lot of people don't. That's a whole other message within itself, that accountability word. It's tough. But it gives us accountability, shepherding one another, evangelism, prayer, socializing, fellowship, and so forth. There's a lot to this, and we should never abandon it, right? So let's continue on and give God the glory as we spur one another along and give God the glory. Amen? I'm going to ask my sister in Christ and the team to come back up, and we're going to sing this one last song. And I want this time just to you to reflect upon your relationship with Christ. If you do not know Him as Lord and as Savior, I, and along with some other, believe, deacons that are qualified to help share the gospel of Christ with you. Let's pray. Father, we love You, and we proclaim You as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank You for Sunday. I pray that these people and people like Faith will never neglect and never take advantage of what You've given us in this life. We come together and sing songs to worship You, to praise You, to lift each other up, to encourage one another. We read God's Word, we preach, we teach, all for Your glory. Father, if there's someone here this morning that needs to know You personally, I pray that that will be done. If there's somebody online that is listening today that needs to know You as their Lord and Savior, I pray that that will be done. We love You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.